This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Dumb Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Cassie Jerkins, and this is a show where funny people come on to talk about a smart topic they consider themselves to be an amateur expert in. And today is a very special crossover episode with the Second Team Podcast, hosted by Cody Ziegler. I've had Cody on in the past. He talked about Edgar Wright films. He's the best. He's a super great guy, podcasting nerd. I'm a podcasting nerd. And we thought, let's have an episode about podcasting. What? Yes, we did it. And we got some great guests on. Andrew T. from Yo Is This Racist podcast, and July Diaz, event coordinator over at Earwolf. They both kill it. I'm not going to talk too long because the whole episode is full of everything you want to know about them and about podcasting. So let's get into it. But real quick, if you haven't already, please rate and review this show on iTunes. It helps make us more visible to all the podcast listeners out there. If you're shopping on Amazon, go to boardwalkaudio.com/dumbnerds. Click on that support our artist button. And today's episode is brought to you by Saucy. That's right. Get alcohol delivered to your door as long as you're 21 or over. And you can save 10% on your order by going to boardwalkaudio.com/saucy. That's boardwalkaudio.com/saucy. S-A-U-C-E-Y. All right, you're all in for a treat. If you just want to know how podcasting works, what's it like to host your own podcast or be a podcast producer, maybe you're thinking about starting your own show. Sit back and relax and enjoy this episode given to you by the Second Team Podcast and Dumb Nerds. Here we go. It's podcasting.
Hello, folks. Welcome to something very special. It's not just an episode of the Second Team, but it's actually, I think we might be the first people to do this. It's a crossover episode with the Dumb Nerds Podcast. There we go. She was so excited to do that. I got an awesome panel here today. Or no, we have an awesome panel here today.
Yeah, we do.
We have Andrew T. from Yo Is This Racist. The other voice that you hear is Cassie Jerkins from the Dumb Nerds Podcast.
Hello.
And we have the silent July Diaz from Trends with Benefits podcast and the episode coordinator for Earwolf. Welcome to the show, everyone.
What's up?
I'm actually, I'm going to split my time between the podcasts, so I'll be silent.
Okay, yeah,
you intermittently.
Guys, yeah, you guys fair can enough, just bounce enough back and forth.
Yeah.
Is there a certain tone I should have for each podcast?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
let's get in character for the different podcast.
Right.
Mine's definitely more laid back, so you can be as sloppy as you want to.
Okay, cool.
Mine's
sloppy.
Like the direct opposite, like super high energy.
Yeah.
Just
I'm in.
And we have to be nerdy.
And right? Nerdy.
About a specific topic.
In a dumb way.
Okay.
But we do have a specific topic we're gonna get nerdy about.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it fits in for my show. Does it fit in for yours, Zig?
Yeah, at this point, I have no discernible topic, so I just go back and forth with every episode. You never know what you're going to get with my show.
Ooh, baby.
Yeah. So would you like to fill folks in about what the show is going to be about today?
Yeah. So today is going to be about podcasting. Whoa. It's like the Inception podcast about podcasting. What? Mm-hmm. We hosted a podcasting panel at UCB February 17th.
It was a great panel.
It was so fun.
Yeah.
Such a hit. We recorded it to release it.
Uh-huh. And we had a very fantastic tech person that helped us set up all the mics and everything.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, they did not shut off their Spotify playlist, so all of the lovely panel was just overheard with Aha and various other 80s hits.
Yeah, some great tunes, but yeah.
I'm glad it didn't come out, actually, because I had a little rip in the crotch of my jeans that I didn't realize, so no one sees that.
Very audible rip that people heard. Thanks for coming back out. First of all, thanks for coming back out, Andrew.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
July, thanks for coming for the first time.
Yeah, thanks for the invite for the first time.
Yeah. We got shit to work through already, I feel like.
got
By the way, it was a panel, so there were questions asked, I assume?
Yeah. It was a pretty good panel, I think. I feel like there's a good 30, 40 minutes of like Q&A.
Okay, I can do that. I could bring in the Q&A.
Oh, yeah, hit us up.
Yeah. I got questions.
What's a podcast?
Yeah, what are we doing?
What is happening right now?
So, Cassie, you're the one that kicked off this question, or you're the one that brought me into this whole idea of doing this discussion. What was like the impetus for this, or the impetus for this?
Yeah, well, I think like being plugged into the UCB community, and like I feel like I'm always learning about other people's podcasts, and I'm just like, I didn't know you had one. I know you had one, and so the goal was to try and like have a panel to get to know more people's shows and what they're doing. And then what was so interesting was like Colin from Earwolf came and was like kind of trying to do the same thing. Like everyone, everyone kind of wants to know what everyone else is up to and like ideas and like what the next thing is. Cause this is a very new platform. Well, not new, but one that's like finally taking off.
Still like really up in the air.
It's just
like, who could be anything?
It is very foggy. I feel like there's no like straight line to like what works and what doesn't work and how to necessarily quote unquote win in the realm of podcasts.
Totally. And I feel like, talking to people who are big podcast fans is we all do have like an eclectic mix of shows. It's not like, oh, I only listen to podcasts about gardening and that's it. It's like everyone like likes different shows. So it's like for somebody that maybe is thinking about starting a podcast, one of the big questions is, what do I want my show to be about? And then it comes into, how do I record and make it sound good? And do I want it to be on a network? How do I release it? And then it gets more and more, you know.
Yeah, you got to get lost in the weeds or more esoteric. Yeah. So I guess jumping off from that, so July and Andrew, you guys are both part of Earwolf.
Hell yeah.
Yes, we speak for Earwolf.
You speak for everyone at Earwolf, right? Yes.
I will just say, not to throw shade on the Earwolf fam, but we are by far the...
You're plugging the podcast, throwing shade on Earwolf.
That's right. Yeah. No, I was going to say we are by far the... Not the by far, and not the darkest, but close to the... We're on the colored end of the Earwolf spectrum.
Absolutely. Let's talk about that.
I'm just like, oh, yeah, Earwolf is like comedy, and I'm like... What am I doing? I feel like an imposter there all the time. I think
everyone has that idea of the imposter syndrome. But no, I mean, I think you're saying dark, not just like being people of color, but just like it's not. We're going to do a funny show for the next hour. It's going to be generally serious topics, but there's more levity to it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. For Yo, Is This Racist? It's like, is this shit comedy? Mostly no. Mostly no.
So speaking off of the idea of Cassie's point of like starting your own show, you've been doing Yo, Is This Racist for a minute, right?
Yeah.
How long has this show been around?
July probably knows better than I do. 4 years? 5 years?
I think...
I don't know. I didn't
probably
need to put you
5 years.
Spot. Yeah.
Because I have now been at Earwolf for almost 6 years.
Yeah.
Your show didn't exist when I first
not at
started.
Probably not. Yeah. Yeah. You were a fixture already. So yeah, it was mine. I didn't like set out to do a podcast.
Yeah.
I was doing the Yo, Is This Racist blog and like mostly using it to kind of pursue like writing work. And then Jeff Ulrich, who is no longer at Earwolf, I think I just met him, a friend of a friend, at a coffee shop, and then he was like, hey, I heard about Yo, Is This Racist? Do you think it'd be a good idea for a podcast? And I was like, I don't know. And then like 2 weeks later, it was a podcast. No, they were looking to expand beyond like just comedy, and Yo, Is This Racist definitely qualifies as something that is beyond just comedy. I had done another podcast, completely self-produced, made in GarageBand, recorded off of the laptop mic. First on a MacBook and then on a compact Presario.
Nice.
Called A Round of Applause with Travis and Andrew. You can still find the four episodes up somewhere.
Is that like behind a paywall?
I wish. I think the only people who have listened to it who I don't know were these two Canadian girls who wrote us like fan mail. And we're like, we like your show. And I was like, how did you find this shit? That's insane. But yeah, I'd done that. I did 4 episodes. It's incompetently produced in literally every single way, but it was really fun to do. So I was like, I could do a podcast. And then it took me a long time to get halfway competent at that. And now I'm here.
I think that's the sort of the spark that lights everyone. It's like, oh, I can do a podcast, because really it's just recording something, and then it's going to be bad for a long time until it becomes okay. And then some point down the road, it'll be good.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I think
speaking for myself and my podcast, sometimes it still is bad.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I've released some stinkers.
Same.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I feel like with my show, within the first 5 minutes, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a good episode, or this is going to be garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Andrew's coming from the hosting aspect. July, you've been in the game, as you said, for about 6 years, right, at Earwolf. Mm-hmm. First of all, could you just describe what your job is to people who are listening who may not know what an episode coordinator does, and how you sort of got in Earwolf and what your day-to-day is like?
Okay, so I used to listen to every single episode of every show before it drops to make sure it sounds good, make sure some stuff the hosts don't want to be get out there, like their address or Earwolf's address or anything like that. And then I publish every episode, and then I do like social media for every episode. I write up all the descriptions that you see. And now I have a little bit of help. So I still do a lot. And now I also record many of the live shows. The way I got started was I started as an intern, very similar meet with Jeff Ulrich, where
Homeboy was just around.
Yeah, damn. Yeah. Where it was at this place, Cat and the Fiddle, which does not exist anymore.
RIP, I loved that place.
It was a great place. And I had a meeting with him, and that led to an internship, which then led to the part-time gig and full-time gig.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Earwolf, it really is like, I mean, because it went from in that era, the 6 year ago era, where it was like, I mean, mostly like a startup or like, I mean, kind of, or just like, as someone from very much the outside, felt like it was just like, I don't know, Scott Aukerman rented an office and has a couple microphones.
It very much was it.
And then it became like a real ass business now, which is bonkers too.
Wow.
Because I remember listening, like being a casual fan, like listening to different shows and then coming out here. And then within like the 3 years of moving out here, like, oh, this is like a business that has like things happening for them.
Yeah. It's really weird. And I guess interesting to people, the initial, like, at least my deal and the business model initially was like, this is basically sort of to help work out projects for TV for the screen. And so the deals were more along the lines of like, look, no one's going to actually make money off of the podcast, but if this becomes a TV show, Earwolf, Comedy Bang Bang Productions, whatever, you know, we'll have some maybe cut of it, or be, you know, first look or something like that. Sort of those types of deals. I can't speak for anyone else's deal because I don't know jack shit. But it was more like that. It was like, hey, we're all in this together. We're in this community, but this is about TV. And then like, there was just a hard turn at some point. It was like, whoa.
It then became almost the opposite where like TV shows become podcasts, or now and then some shows will get in development deals. Like I have a show now that's in that weird stage of like, we're a podcast that someone listened to and like, hey, we want to come in and do like an animated version of the show.
Yeah.
Like, oh wait, now we have to actually think about how we make this show and not just turn on
it's
mics.
It's like, yeah. I mean, like, so I ended up developing, and it didn't go anywhere, but like a talk show version and a sketch show version of Yosef's Racist, that it's like, not even fucking in remotely close to the podcast, except for me and a little bit of the attitude. And it's like this just thing where I was like, but it's like, it's just weird. Cause they're like, oh, this is a thing. You made a thing. And I was like, and they're like, we want to buy this thing. We don't want any of the creative content or the, you know, really much of it, but you made a thing. It was cool. I was like, okay, cool.
We just want the name.
Yeah, pretty much. Which I guess is again, the most important thing.
Naming your show.
Name a show that you can sell and then bounce.
Yeah, and then dip out and
take that money and go.
Relax, retire to your island.
Yeah.
So if you had to give some advice to someone who just wanted to start their own show, and maybe July, you may have maybe some more insight into this. What would be like the first steps? Like, what are the first things that you do? Like finding a host for the site or even like capturing decent audio?
Okay, well, my honest advice is don't do it. But for the sake of the podcast.
End of show. Yeah. Good night, everybody.
I think having a hook for your show is important. Then I'll say audio is important. Just making it sound good. And there's relatively easy ways to do that. You can even just record your show using a Zoom recorder at handheld and just edit yourself. You could figure it out. But if you really want to go all in, just ask for help from someone that knows what they're doing. But yeah, those are the two important things. I think have a hook. And if you don't want to do it on your own, find other people you like to host the show with you.
So in your 6 years, have you seen a lot of shows come and go? Or by the time they get to Earwolf, it's a little more like they're established or people are in it for the long run?
I think with Earwolf, all the shows have been consistent, actually, from the time I've been there. The ones that have ended were either the host just got busy with other stuff, non-podcast related.
Too famous.
Yeah, kind of. And then but there's always different actors and comedians come in and trying to pitch shows, and I'm not there for that part of the process at Earwolf, so I'm not sure why those don't go or not. But I can tell you off air, like, all the great people that come in and I think should have shows.
So we'll have some gossip after we the rip, recording. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry,
well, I think sometimes it is like people come in with only a personality or a Twitter following. Don't have an idea. And I think those are the, and there's another part of it, which is like that without a hook doesn't necessarily translate into like people listening. It's just this weird kind of different thing. Like, not entirely obviously, but it's like less like conversion from like a super famous person just being super famous.
That makes sense, because I feel like shows where it's like you're tuning in just for the personality and there's not like a hook, I'll listen to like a couple episodes and then I'll probably maybe check in like down the road. But I think a show with a hook that like people are like invested in the topic would be more likely to download weekly.
Yeah, it does at some point feel like a sugar rush. Like you're like gonna slam, like, say for instance, a bowl of ice cream. Oh, this is great. And then you're like, oh, I can't have any more. Until
are we gonna peel back the curtain on that one?
I just want everyone to know the reason I'm sounding so dumb right now is I'm extra fucked up on ice cream.
he was probably, I think the best guest power move is that he offered ice cream before he appeared, and then he literally appeared with two different types of ice cream
and little bowls.
Yeah, it was some good stuff.
I was on my way here. I was about to get myself ice cream, and I was like, oh, I have to get everyone ice cream.
But he committed to it.
Yeah, it was good-ish, but I feel bad now.
We'll take care of you. So the idea of like sort of the celebrity personality or just like having these Twitter followers, how does that play into hosting when maybe necessarily you don't know the person coming in? You have to do a cold interview. And like, I don't know what your booking process is like, but I'm assuming, you know, because like we all follow each other on Twitter and stuff, but I'm sure occasionally you do get people that you don't know.
I've gotten some interviews. It's weird because the U.S. is Racist ends up being like basically like a call-in show, but with just with voicemails. Mm-hmm. And Cassie, you have to come on sometime, by the way. Everyone else in this room is coming on the show. It's a thing where I actually, and this is partially my own failing as a host, but partially just like a little bit of the necessity of the format. Like, it works so much better when it's someone I like know or someone who at least kind of knows the show.
Yeah.
Cause I've had like some people who are like, you know, very, very famous that either don't get it or like don't like me, which is certainly possible and fair. I'm 50-50 on the Andrew myself. But like, you know, when you're like, oh, and it's so, because especially for Yo's Is Racist, since the topic is so fraught, like if it starts to not go well, it goes real bad.
Oh, no.
And not like terrible, but it's always just like so awkward. And like, you just, you know, you have to be in there for another 20 minutes. And it's like,
it's just you in that room with the engineer and like some water. And you're like, oh, we don't disagree on this. I think pretty fundamental important thing.
Yeah. And so in those instances, I try to just like let people, you know, say their piece, and it's certainly important. And like, if I disagree with them, gotta pick my spots on when to push back, which a lot of my listeners don't like, which I understand. But then what am I supposed to do? Just fucking like, I don't know, throw them out? Like, I just don't know what to do or whatever. It's like, and I'm also just like, it's hard, but yeah. So what I mean though, is that like, especially when it's folks like that, sometimes people who are very famous, but it's like, I don't know. Their Twitter followers aren't sticking around.
Yeah.
That's for damn sure.
That was something on the panel that I remember Stephen Ray Morris said was with his show, The Purrcast, which is like all about cats, is like he would get like these big guests. And in the beginning thinking like, oh, if I get this big guest, then that's going to like, boom, my ratings are going to go up. Mm-hmm. And he's like, but now that I've done it enough times, I can see like people will tune in maybe for that episode. But
not,
you know,
the same way here, it's like you'll book a big guest or big in the realm, whatever you're doing. Like, oh, this is going to be sweet. It's going to lock us in. And then like you see a huge bump for that episode. Maybe the next one, but then it just kind of returns back to normal afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when I think it has to, that's when it's like your show, your hook, your format. That's what gets people to stick around. Mm-hmm. And even then, like, yeah, you're going to only like maybe a small percentage of people tuning in for the first time will stick around.
Yeah. It's funny enough. We all host shows here. So I'm curious to get you and July's opinion on having a cold interview with someone that you don't necessarily know.
Yeah. I've been lucky. I've had a few people that I've like literally they just show up at my house and like I've only emailed them. Mm-hmm. But I think, I don't know, for me it's like I feel like it's up to me to make sure they're like comfortable and like kind of know what they're getting into. Like I'll tell them before the show, like usually I'll talk to them like 20 minutes before we even start recording just to like kind of get them to feel like safe. I have cats too, so I'm like, you know, pet a cat.
Yeah.
And then like explain like what the show is about. I mean, my show is very like dumb. I'm talking about something they like for an hour, so that's easy as opposed to maybe being like, hey, I'm probably going to call you out for being racist. Might be a little bit more like, you know.
No, I mean, I actually only get like, I only ever push back hard on people who I already have a really good relationship with. So that's definitely an on me thing, but yeah.
Well, I think with the guests, like, and I think that's what's so like, what I like about your show though, is like, you are listening to maybe your guests kind of go through like how they view the world. And like, maybe it's more of them being like comfortable with like, how do I like coexist with this very real thing. I could see how like if they don't know you, they're already like,
sometimes it's really good when I can, even when it's a stranger, sometimes I can, if we are on the same wavelength, I feel like I can get people to say shit that they would not say on any other format. But when it doesn't work, it is painful.
Yeah. How about for you, July?
So we have segments on my show. It's mostly we talk about what's trending while we record, but we have really dumb segments where I'll read like a comic strip. So if I can tell, like if I'm doing the show with a stranger, and I can tell like, oh, they're not liking this at all. Then I'll just like kind of go through the segments. Like, okay, well, we're just going to finish the rest of the show. And,
just lean in harder. Yeah.
Let's see if you like any of this other stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but even I'd say with friends too, it's like you can kind of catch them on a bad day. Like, you know, you can kind of be like, oh, they're not as open as they normally are or whatever.
I think that's even more awkward for me is that, oh, we're about to sit here for 45 minutes and I got to pull this thing out of you.
Yeah.
And then you got to get that weird text afterwards. Like, hey, sorry, man, the audition didn't go good or blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So, oh, hey, yeah, I gotcha. I feel you.
Yeah. Do you guys have episodes where you record it and you're like, you know what? I'm not going to release it. Or do you just go ahead and release it?
I mean, usually they're going to. Yeah. I mean, that's what editing is for. You're going to cut. Yeah. I mean, generally, it's not that. It doesn't come across as awkward as it is when you're recording the show.
Yeah.
Like when I listen back to every show, like I'm like, oh, this is actually okay. Like it's not that bad as I remembered it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's more that feeling, which isn't really on the mic. You know, it's like even if it's awkward, like I think we're all at a place and all of our guests are always at a place where it's like you can make it sound like jovial or civil at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't have a next thought.
That's all good.
So I guess for our listeners recording, just release it.
Oh, I did have a next thought. Yes. Oh. And this was something that I said on the panel and then someone else, maybe it was even the question asker sort of rightfully contradicted it, but it kind of speaks to the breadth, like the way that like podcasts are a very big genre and it kind of could be anything, which is that like for you know, as racist, again, as July is well aware, like crank it out and it's like sometimes they aren't good, but I kind of have this philosophy of like, there's always another podcast because mine is a little topical, especially now I added a topical element to it. And so it feels like, maybe, you know, sort of a little bit akin to like live TV or like topical TV, which is like, if it didn't hit, it's fine because it's more about the stream of the point of view rather than any single point on the point of view.
Yeah.
Which is one way to think of podcasts, but it's certainly not the only way and probably not the best way. But like, so there's also the editing work at it, like really make this fucking thing perfect. Each podcast is a precious document.
Yeah. I go back and forth where like it's disposable, but not in a bad way. And with the idea of like, yeah, well, in like literally 7 days, we're going to have another episode of this thing. So you'll be fine. Like this is just almost another number in the catalog after a certain point. I think after a show hits, like for me, after it hits like 50 episodes, I'm like, this can just be one of those things where like, oh, this wasn't the best episode, but it's still like a B minus out of hopefully a B minus. Although personally, I've had some C's, but hopefully a B minus out of the entirety of the catalog.
Yeah. Hearing you guys say that makes sense. Cause I feel like as someone that listens to podcasts, like there are times where I turn the show off, you know, after an episode and be like, no, that wasn't their best one. But I'm back the next day. It's like, or next week, it's when like it's consistently like you could feel it starting to like tank and get phoned in. That's like when it's like,
or just like different than you want.
Yeah.
It doesn't even have to be bad. It's just like, I thought I wanted this, but I don't want it as much anymore.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing. It's like, and I'm sure my mindset of what a podcast is like a stream of words that gets pushed out because you subscribe to this thing. But that is not the only way to think of it. I mean, some people are, you know, like making essentially audiobooks or like, you know, very self-contained specific episodes that people, mine are not as evergreen, I guess. So it's just kind of like, eh, who cares? If it's not good, it's not good. It's fine.
Yeah.
But that's not for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm it's weird because I do a show that one of the shows I produce is a show that's just catching up on what happened in that week of wrestling. And I could not imagine anyone going into the back catalog and listening to what has happened after a month.
Because it doesn't make any sense.
It's very strange being like, oh, well, this thing is only going to be relevant for 7 to 14 days afterwards. Like it's, you probably can't listen to it.
Yeah. Yeah, it does make me think if like maybe you are someone who's starting a podcast and you don't know what you want to do, try and think like a step ahead of everybody and be like, okay, well, what do I want? Do I want something where a listener can pop in 4 years from now and want to go back and listen to everything? Do I want it to sound like like telling storytelling with like sound cues and voices and everything, or it's like trying to figure out what you want.
And there are some shows that can kind of like ride the line. There's a show that I listen to that's just like kind of pop culture. Mm-hmm. Mostly news, but then their like second act is they'll discuss like a movie or a TV show or a comic book or something. It's called The Weekly Planet. It's very famous. I really like it. But so they start with news and then do a middle thing that is more evergreen. So like when I started listening to that podcast, I went back and listened to things, even though their news would be like, oh, they're going to make an Iron Man movie. So there's also ways to do that too.
That's smart. Yeah.
Which is like you can make your show. I wonder if the advice is like to tell people you should think of it or you should just try to discover it quickly. To me, it's like one or the other. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it depends on personality. Like for me, I would just have to just make the thing and figure out what works as you go along with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know with my show, I made it so when you go on and you look at the backlog, it's like, oh, maybe that's a guest I want to hear, or maybe that's a topic I want to hear. And it's just kind of in the title to kind of catch people that way.
I've gone back for the old episodes and I've retitled them like, these are bad, don't listen to these. And then gradually like, okay, these are better, listen to these.
Yeah.
You got a whole system planned out.
Yes.
Do you ever have people go, oh, cool, I'm going to start listening to your show, which episode should I jump in on?
Yeah.
That's like such a hard thing to say.
It's so weird, especially maybe July, you can answer this too. When you have more than one show, like I have like the professional shows that I do, then my own show, I'm like, all right, so now I have to pick one of like the professional shows that like I think won't make me sound like a weirdo. And then I got to pick my own show. I'm like, this episode of this one and maybe this one. So you're like, I'm already overloading them with like at least 3 hours of content to listen to.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually, yeah, I'm always recommending something that I have nothing to do with, really.
What's that about, guys?
I don't know, because I think first and foremost for myself, I started doing my podcast because I just love podcasts so much that I just wanted to try it out. And it was an easy thing because I do it with my two friends, and it's a way to talk to other funny people that we like.
Yeah. So you're like, this is for me, not for listeners.
I kind of do feel that way.
And that arguably is kind of the best. Well, no, it's definitely the easiest way to get started. Yeah. Maybe it's not the best way to get started for some people, but to me, I'm just like, it's also like for Yosef's Racist, like if Earwolf hadn't come along and basically said, we'll do all the actual work, 0% chance I'd be doing a podcast.
By the way, it's so much work just to do your own podcast.
Yeah. Sucks. Especially if you actually edit. I don't edit. Yeah. I have edited one show, or I edited like 4 episodes of one show, like as a side gig. And I never want to do it again. Shout out to the editors who actually go through and cut out ums and ahs. Yeah. What you see is what you get with me.
Yeah.
I don't have the time for it.
It was, although I will say when you do that for your own podcast, the only reason to do that is because it makes you a better performer.
Yes.
Because then as soon as you make it painful, every time there's an awkward pause or you say ums and ahs, you start to cut it out a little bit.
Yes.
You can tell I don't have that discipline.
So this is something that I've been thinking about over the past, speaking of us, something I've been thinking about over the past couple of months, actually, is the idea of representation within the landscape of podcasting, because even now it's still represents one pretty solid demographic, being straight white males. I do want to give a lot of shout out to Anna Hosnier and Sophie Lichterman from How Stuff Works Comedy in LA, who of the three shows that I know they have on there now, only one of them has a white dude as a co-host, which is the Daily Zeitgeist. Everything else is, I think, almost exclusively black and brown performers for the host. But even here, like I've been trying as a gatekeeper to get more of those voices onto these shows. What has some things that you guys have run into? Do you have any thoughts about the idea of representation in podcasting?
Well, yeah, the networks, although that is a little, you're absolutely right. But it is like a thing, like all digital shit, right? Like it's extra segmented.
Yeah.
So the networks that are probably the more A-listy kind of networks are like white male oriented, but there is other stuff out there and a lot of independent stuff. It
is
as much as we're talking about how much of a pain in the ass it is to start a podcast, still easier than a TV show.
Yeah.
So there is like a lot more diversity out there. Probably.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it exists, but it doesn't maybe get the shine that it could or should.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like weird because it's like still bad, but good compared to a lot of other stuff. So yeah, you feel like, oh, well.
Yeah, no, you do raise a good point about the idea of like they're all a very successful independent podcast, which people get listenerships and they get maybe a little bit of money doing their ads, whatever, but they also do get exposure, which does make it a lot easier than necessarily starting an independent TV show or movie.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's still not like, you know, all the examples I'm about to say are feel like it's like subtweeting someone. So it's not just like white people talking about stuff.
Yeah.
But those do, it is, you're right that those really tend to rise to the top and be lauded. But that also just has a little bit to do with how we'll just say like, you know, the polite way is like people's media tastes have really been trained to a certain type of person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you know, it is like, I don't know. It feels a little churlish to talk shit about podcasts sometimes, but then it's like, yeah.
Yeah. But that does make me think, one of the reasons why I started my podcast is like, oh, there isn't a lot of like female hosted shows. So that seems like something to do just, if it inspires other women, great. And then I did attend like a director's workshop a few weeks ago at UCB. And one of the things they were talking about is how like, it's like really bad that like, there's like no female directors. Like it's like 17%. It's like the numbers are insane. And they're like, well, let's look inward and see like, why is that happening? And it's like, just like for like some women, it's like, we're conditioned to be like, oh, well, I don't know how to instantly make it perfect. Therefore, like it kind of stops them from even trying. And then also it's just like not being like not knowing how to have the resources to do it. Cause I know like at our panel, a lot of people were just like, how do you record it or how do you make it sound good and everything? And then I think it's like, so like listening to like episodes like this where it's like here, just go out and get the resources, or it is possible to just hit record on your phone or your Mac and like just let it be bad and just put it out there. And then as you keep going, you'll learn and you'll get better. Mm-hmm. So it is about like also just go out there and do it.
Yeah.
Because yeah, unfortunately, if you want to feel that it's like hard or you don't like it's not going to be good, then that's just going to prevent you.
Yeah, I think also it makes it easier that when you first start a podcast, really no one's going to be listening besides maybe your parents and one or two of your really, really close friends at that.
Yeah.
On the gender thing, too, I think there is like when you're talking about directors, it's just like when you're saying like if women are speaking very broadly here are conditioned to feel like they need to be perfect, where it's like the same straight white dude has made a thing less good and it's like it is perfect.
Yeah,
I made it.
Well, it's like I hosted an open mic for almost 2 years and it would be like all dudes and one woman, and it was a character open mic, and every time a woman would come in, she would come in with like off book wig, like costume, and then like and then the guy after would be like, this is a funny thing I thought of on the ride over. And we have to listen to him like work it out for 4 minutes. Yeah. But fuck, like just seeing that mindset of like, oh, I'm going to do an open mic tonight, it has to be perfect, versus like, I'm going to fuck around for 4 minutes. Maybe it's something, maybe it's not, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's also because for like, you know, for any minority, the price of failure is higher because you're I fucked up for all of us.
Yeah.
On some level. So I think that too, but how do you beat that?
Well, yeah, and I know for like two, it's like I feel like it's a respect thing. Like going back to that open mic is a great example of like after the show, like all the dudes would be like, "Oh man, your stuff is so funny," blah 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 blah. And it's like if like a woman just went up and failed, like no one's gonna go up to her and be like, you know, "Hey, I think you got something there," unless they're like clearly hitting on her or something, you know?
Right. Well, and that dynamic in comedy is like very toxic.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just like, I think it is that like, oh, you know, because I feel connected to you because we're both men or whatever, it's like already an end to
It's not even. They're just like, "I feel a connection to you. I don't know why, bro."
Yeah.
And it's like, "I just feel something."
You reminds me about myself.
Like, it's just a little bit of fucking self reflection is all we ask.
Isn't
from
like,
you people.
That was something I was thinking about the other day. I was watching, like, I don't know what I was watching. I was watching an old episode of something where like an older white man said to a younger white man, like, "I see myself in you." And I was like, that was such a big thing I heard growing up.
Yeah.
Like, and that was why people wanted to like help people. It's like, "Oh, I see myself in you."
Yeah.
"Oh, because you guys look fucking the same."
Yeah. Or the same gray suit. Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. This was a podcast I was listening to this week about, I forget what it was. I think it was Spielberg and Colin Trevorrow, the marginally talented director of blockbuster movies, with the confidence.
Was
Jurassic
it the
World
the DGA podcast?
Definitely not. I don't know. Listen to shit like that. but the point is, it's like it was a thing, and I don't remember the podcast, and I don't remember all the circumstances of it. But it was like this thing where it's like Spielberg. I think it was Spielberg's Jurassic Park guy.
Yeah.
Spielberg was like, "Oh, I see this. I see a lot of myself in this young upstart." And it's like, motherfucker, like, come on. Like, how? And then you're like, "Oh, I don't know why women don't want to do this." It's like, because you think you make movies for everyone, but you can't see yourself in like a young Ava DuVernay or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is wrong with you that you like can say shit like that without being reflexive about what it means? It's so awful.
Yeah, this is a complete tangent, but I don't know if anyone saw Ready Player One, but one of the wildest things in that movie to me is that Lena Waithe plays a giant orc, but also the two Asian characters play samurai and a ninja.
Yeah, they're ninjas,
respectively.
Let me throw this out there to my East Asian brothers and sisters, but mostly brothers, only brothers. Don't embrace all that bullshit ninja shit. People are making me look bad. It's so whack. I fucking hate it. Don't. You're not a ninja. No one's a ninja, and it's not cool.
There's also spoiler, but there's like a big pivotal moment where one of them becomes a Gundam.
Yeah, it was wild. It was crazy. I hope I'm not spoiling this for you. I don't know if you're going to see the movie, Cassie.
Don't worry.
I'm not going to see this shit. Fuck that shit.
Yeah, it was wild. Like this Japanese guy who was also good at karate and kendo in real life, which just made it even funnier. But yeah, he does like a little inner monologue and he prays to himself, like, "I choose the form of a Gundam," and he transforms into a giant robot and fights another robot. It's very wild. But going back,
2018.
I'm not saying that's not, I mean, it is an annoying stereotypical character, but I'm just like, it is also not, because too many, again, of my brothers and sisters, but really only brothers, embrace that bullshit.
I mean, did it make it worse that he fought Mecha Godzilla?
I don't know. I have so many thoughts on that
movie. Actual Japanese citizen.
An actual Japanese citizen. So if you had to give some quick tips for someone who was just starting their own show, what would you fire off? Anyone in the room, and you just, anyone listening who is, because you've been doing your show for a while, Cassie is real, correct?
Yeah.
You know what? Let me rephrase that. What would you say to you, first episode you're about to roll? What would you give some advice to yourself?
What would I give myself advice? I mean, this was something I was thinking about for a long time, because I think I sat on the show idea for probably at least 6 months to a year before I did it. And part of it was being like, is this really a format that I want to be stuck with for years, basically? So I would say, like, it's easy to just come up with a show idea and then just start doing it and then maybe get a few episodes in and be like, oh, I don't like this. But you're welcome to change it, of course, because it's your thing. But I mean, that would be something to think about is like, is this something I want to be talking about for years and years and years, potentially? Yeah. What about you guys?
I'd say for myself, it's easier because I don't have like a regimented weekly release schedule. Mm-hmm. So it kind of affords me to be like, okay, like I have some time away from this.
Yeah.
And then you get the itch again. I want to do it again. I want to have fun with my friends.
I think that's great. It's like you're doing it to be fun, where like I feel like mine is like a pretty like, every Tuesday I drop an episode, mm-hmm. and it does sometimes feel like I'm in this like relationship with someone where it's like sometimes it's great and it's like bam, oh, I'm having a blast, and then other times like life stuff happens and it's like it seems not as fun, mm-hmm. but I'm like committed to staying on schedule. Mm-hmm.
I think there's somewhere in between. As someone who's done one for fun and mm-hmm. done one for a company on a schedule, depending on who you are, try to find the version that is most natural to you, but then add a couple bits of structure to make it actually work and improve mm-hmm. it. I think the other piece of first advice for someone, which is just like, just get a, y'all will know the details, but get some kind of mic.
Yeah,
even if it's a cheap one. There's probably some really good cheap ones, right? People always say, just get a USB mic to me, and I'm like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that was actually the first mic I bought out here. Was like a little cheap $50 USB mm-hmm. mic off like Amazon Prime.
Yeah, but something like that, I think. I'm trying to think. I think the other thing, at least for me, which is like depending on the type of podcast you have, you don't have to be an expert or like mm-hmm. perfect when you mm-hmm. start, and like for the right kind of podcast, you can be very transparent about like, this is, I'm learning this shit too.
Yeah.
And that can be really helpful.
Yeah. I think like writing some goals of, like why you're doing it and what you want out of it. Cause I know with mine, like one of the basic goals that I had was like, I just want to get better at having conversations with people. Literally hitting record and being stuck with someone for 45 minutes to an hour. Like I definitely say I've gotten better. And then, I think if you're like a comedy person, you are going to hone your point of view and like your opinions, like you're going to get something out of it. I don't think you're going to walk away being like, well, that was a waste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely, I had to learn it the hard way, because when I first started my show, I had two other co-hosts where we have a guest in, like, all right, I can just like sit back and let them do some of the work. And then as they left the show, it became like me and a person that maybe I didn't necessarily know for like an hour.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh boy, we got to get through this. This is about to be bumpy as hell. Let's strap in, guys, because we don't know how this ride's going to end.
Yeah. Yeah. I would also say like, protect yourself and maybe your friendships, like, because I do know people that are like, oh, I'm gonna start a show with my friend, and then quickly become very frustrated because your schedules don't line up and everything. Mm-hmm. So just know, like, if you do want to have a co-host, that's with like having a guest on, like mm-hmm. that's now three schedules you're gonna be juggling. Mm-hmm. I know that's one of the reasons why I was like, you know what, I'm gonna do this solo, just because it's very easy for me to be like throw some dates out at one person and make it happen.
Or you can embrace that like me and see that when your co-hosts are busy with work stuff or whatever and your schedules won't align, you're just like, great, I don't have a month of podcast. Let's do it.
Vacation.
I've definitely taken like 3 months off of my podcast from time to time.
Yeah, I think that's another thing. Well, I don't know how it is at Earwolf, but if you miss a week, like,
oh, it's
people
the best.
Aren't gonna like,
when a show misses a week, I'm like, thank
I will say this as someone, Yo's this racist. I think I've teased this on my show before, but if not, I guess I'm doing it here, but I think I've done it already. Gonna be getting a permanent co-host soon. Can't say who it is. I don't think. I'm not gonna say who it is.
Ooh.
Yet. A thing that I think we're gonna do is gonna be another format change wherein we deal with guests on their time and then deal with the newsier parts on our time. So you could also get complicated with production and do that shit if you're... Yeah, I think it's like also like going back to the friendship thing. It's just like any other collaboration, which is like it is a risk because shit breaks up all the time because people are pieces of shit and like, a terrible world and everyone sucks. Wow. Right? Y'all are with me.
Yeah, people are both the best and also the worst simultaneously. Yeah.
Horrendous.
Yeah. So I'm going to put a little mark here. So we have like 10 minutes left. Anything you want to wrap up with or anything you want to close out?
Yeah. I'm trying to think from like the panel, like maybe questions that people asked.
Yeah, what were some questions people asked?
People did ask like the whole idea of
I'll be the person asking the question. Just tell me what the question was.
Okay, then July. Yeah. You want me to
We're doing this.
Yeah.
I feel like they were all about money.
They were about money and networking. Okay, like how to get on the network.
I got a question.
Oh, yes, sir. You.
How do you make money off of the podcast?
Can I fill this one?
Yeah.
You don't unless you're lucky enough to be on a network and then you still make very little money.
That's right.
As a host.
So when we did the panel, so many people asked that variations on that question. Mm-hmm. And I think to me, for most people, including myself, so I'm working on a new podcast right now and I'm really thinking of it as like, I still think of it like this. And I know this is a little bit of my older school thinking and it's not entirely accurate, but I'm like, this is like the work I would be putting into like making a pilot or like, you know, or that sort of labor. Like it's an investment. I still think of it as an investment rather than a product that needs to be a moneymaker right away or even in its absence. Like obviously it's just about building the Andrew T brand, but but you know what I mean? It's just like, it's about organizing your thoughts, getting better at stuff, making a document and making a thing. And I know that is not helpful for, cause a lot, you know, if people are listening to this and, you know, granted, probably a lot of them are wanting to be in the entertainment industry, but like, it doesn't have to be. And so I guess to the answer to the money question really is like, figure out something that you derive value from in this podcast game besides just the money up front. It's like, yeah, if you really want to explore something, learn about something, or prove that you know something or learn on the way or whatever, that has to be the thing for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the easiest way to relate to anyone who does comedy out here, specifically, I guess, in the improv scene is like you spend what, $10 a week on a coach, probably more.
Yeah. But also like no one makes money off improv ever.
That's what I'm saying. It's like an investment. So like it's like the what, $15 a month for Spotify or for SoundCloud Premium.
Right. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So like that's, you know, a little small investment. I mean,
Stitcher Premium is only $4.99.
Yeah, Stitcher Premium. Listen, the whole backlog.
$35 a year. Yo, is this racist? StitcherPremium.com/promo code yo.
But going off like,
sorry, I went into a trance for a second.
But going back to that improv thing of like, oh, I'm spending all this money on classes and coaches, and then but then you book that one commercial and it like pays. Or like what I've found in my experience at UCB and also with my podcast is I've gotten work outside that's like maybe not necessarily like getting paid to co on someone's podcast, but they're like, hey, because I know you from doing your podcast, I have this gig that I think you'd be perfect for.
Yeah.
Do you want it? And so in that sense, that's how I'm getting money. Mm-hmm. And then a little bit from ads. But what helped me going into my podcast is I do have a YouTube channel, Synchronica Kids, where I make science videos for kids. And when I went into that, it was very much like, look, we're probably not going to start seeing money for like a couple years. Like you start making content and everything. So when I went into my podcast, I was like, I'm probably not going to see any money for a couple years because it's just building the fan base and everything. So then when I do get a little money, it's like, oh, wow, that's great. Yeah. And then it's like, because I've been doing the YouTube channel much longer and I'm starting to see money, it's like I can look at those analytics and compare to my podcast analytics and be like, oh, it's kind of following the same like trending. uptrending. Now, if it's just flatlining and no one's listening and you're not having fun, then maybe change up your show or maybe like let it go, you know? Mm.
Definitely if you're not having fun.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's the most important thing that's ever. But it really is. It's like, if this shit wasn't fun, like, there's no, especially if you're producing the whole thing yourself. Don't do it. Just don't do it. It's fine. Yeah. It's fine not to do it.
Yeah. It's fine to quit.
Yeah.
Just quit.
It really is.
Yeah. July's first thing he said was,
it's fucking awesome.
Just don't
to
do
quit.
It.
Yeah. Quitting rules?
Yeah. Please quit.
But that was a question from the panel, too. I think it was like one of the first ones was, producing a podcast solo versus trying to pitch it to a network.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I do remember another question being if you should do a show with the host or with the or by yourself. I remember that was another question.
Yeah.
I mean,
a co-host.
Yeah. And I feel like we may have answered it, but I think just in case we didn't get a very clear cut answer, I think my answer would be the stakes will never be lower than being on a podcast, an independent podcast. So if you have a co-host and they don't work out after a couple episodes, fine. No one cares. Like, there's no reason to take it. There's no reason for that to like get into the way of your friendship. And also like if you have a solo show and you end up having a guest that you really click with, you have them back a couple times. Like I know I've had that happen where we've had shows that we had a really good guest that we had that recurred a lot and they just ended up working their way naturally into becoming like a co-host for the show.
Yeah.
That's another thing that people do too. I'm sure that happens. It's happening with you. And
Happening. Joseph Races. It happened on the North Mollywood podcast on the late MTV network. I was a guest enough times. They were like, just come back every week.
Hell yeah.
It was sort of fun. It was super fun doing the podcast. Ultimately, it was a lot of like, why are we working for MTV? Whatever.
Yeah. And it sounds like for if you want to get your show on a network, you might have to like kind of look at like how big of a celebrity am I? Yeah. And even then, like, be like, if I don't have a good hook, even. Mm-hmm. Then networks might be like, I don't know. It's like, well, I think what people were trying to ask is like, what are networks looking for?
Oh, yeah.
Can I cold pitch them?
This is just a big guess, but I think networks are looking for currently, if it's a big, well-known network, they want an independent show that is doing well. Like they want
to migrate the listeners.
Just money, basically.
Yeah.
And then it's like, it might seem like there's a lot of like insidery stuff, but you can kind of tell what a network, how they operate just by looking at what shows they have.
Yeah.
Like it's like very clear, the networks that are just like, okay, you're a stand-up comedian. What is your idea? Great, let's do it. Mm-hmm. Or it's like, oh, I mean, Earwolf is like a little bit like you're a UCB person of some kind. Like, find five friends and let's do that show. which is like, fine. But it's just that you can kind of look at the roster of the podcast they have and like make a pretty good guess about how it works behind the scenes. And it's usually not... and this also, by the way, just in general, and not that I'm like Master Hollywood or anything, but it's also the same kind of thing for like TV networks. I guess I worked at Comedy Central for many years, but near where those decisions were made, and it's just like it's not complex. Like any entertainment place you're like, if you look at their shows and imagine how did they end up with all these shows? You're right. That's exactly how it happened.
Yeah.
So just like look at what they got. And then if you're like a UCB person right now listening to this podcast, you know, make your career like those people, at least head on the same trajectory. So if it looks like it's a lot of stand-ups getting podcasts and you want to be on that network, get in a fucking stand up, become friends with those people. Mm-hmm. It's like such a small, direct, networky world that, it's always the straightforward version. Whatever you look at it, and it feels like, yeah, that's how you have to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if you ever get the inkling, like, hey, should I DM that person and ask them? You should just DM that person and ask them a question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slide in those DMs.
Yeah.
Slide in those DMs.
You might fail, but it just tells you. It tells you exactly where you're at.
Yeah.
Like it's like, did it work? No. Okay. Well, then I need to work harder.
I'm not there yet. Yeah. And then sometimes, like I've had like have asked and got a no, and then like a year later or two, because I'm still out here doing it, then they're like, hey, come, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like planting that seed.
It's almost like the weird new version of like a water bottle tour where you go in and you meet them and then like, all right, great. And then like a year or two later, like, oh, remember that person that we met that one time? Oh, yeah. All right, yeah, let's they're bring fine. Them in to do a thing. Yeah.
They still haven't committed any crimes and gotten a little more famous. It's fucking good enough. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's like, I will say, for podcasts, it feels like networks are a little, not overrated, but just make sure you know what you want from them. So it's like, like for instance, if it's Earwolf, like, you know, a good thing would be to be friends with a lot of people on Earwolf and to have an audience that will, you know, or be close to those shows to like, you know, so just because otherwise it's like, what's it for a little bit?
Yeah, I would also recommend too, like, let's say you do get a meeting with a potential network, you hear this all the time, but I just remind yourself, like, go in there and be like, and ask them like what you're going to get, like, how are they going to help your show? Because I think sometimes people think like, oh, if I get on a network or whatever, they're just going to give me everything and do all the hard work. But that might not be the case. They might just be like, all right, we're going to give you like, you know, a few months to see how it goes. And then if we're not seeing any numbers or magic from you, then we're going to drop you or whatever.
And especially with a podcast, it's just so like, really, it's like, okay, give us control of your RSS feed. Otherwise, like, that's it. Let's go.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the same as like pitching a TV network where there's like a big investment and a big negotiation. Mm-hmm. It's just like, not that it necessarily is fast, obviously, you know, especially with people's real contracts these days. Like, it's still a negotiation for a podcast. But I guess what I mean is like, it's not like just, I would so strongly recommend going independent if you're starting out. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
And then get a Patreon, like, you know, if you're really looking to make money and but you're like seeing you're getting a following and you have a strong fan base, people will start giving you $5 a month. And then that's probably more than you'd make if you were like on most networks. So.
Yeah, sometimes you don't get those ads for those couple of months and you're like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
I'm not making any money right now.
I'm trying to think. Sorry. I mean, and also there are I don't even know exactly how mid-roll a subsidiary of Earwolf works, but you can not be a show and still get ads served through like things like mid-roll, right?
We use mid-roll at How Stuff Works.
So there are options out there. There are companies that just exist to, you know, serve ads to people if you reach a certain thing. So I think it's just like, It was like at the panel, especially there was a part of me that was just like, I know this is what people are curious about, but it's like, I feel like the concentration on networks and money is like asking the wrong question a little bit. Mm-hmm.
What is the right, what would you say is the right question?
Why am I so bad? and then think about that and then answer it and then fix
it.
You know what I mean?
But it's true. Like, no, yeah.
It's like, it just really is like the money thing is not what's holding anyone back. How about that? Mm-hmm. Like, it just isn't. Like, the money thing, the network thing, even if, for instance, like me, you're like a completely lazy shithead and you don't want to actually do any technical production at all. When I was starting out, part of me think it was just a different era. So I don't want to say like, I love Earwolf. It was great. It is great. But do you know what I mean? Like, part of me is like, especially these days when there's a lot of independent producers out there, even if you don't want to touch, what I mean is, I'm a person who never wants to touch a fucking like knob to, you know, or like open up, what is it?
Pro Tools? Yeah.
I don't want to know any of that shit, right? Yeah. You can also find someone independently who will do that. Mm-hmm. And like that, I think is just like a better place for 99.9% of people to start.
Yeah.
You know, that's a better relationship when you're starting out.
Yeah. It's better to ask for help from, you know, your peers and people that want to get better too, and then just do it, as opposed to like just hoping a network will magically appear and be like, here is your number one on iTunes show and all the fame and fortune.
Here's your free Casper mattress.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah, because I don't think anyone's really gotten it that way. I think everyone that you see that you're like, oh, how do I get to be like them? It's like there's years and years and years of trying things out and failing and just doing and getting up and doing it. And with podcasting, it's just hitting that record and then uploading it and then just keep showing up.
Mm-hmm. I would even quibble a little bit with some of the advice from earlier about like making sure it sounds good. I feel like that might be like a step five thing for some people. Like, mm-hmm. really, it's just like you mm-hmm. can do it on your fucking phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
I would, like, yeah, I would much challenge someone to be like, just put it out tomorrow, then sit on some audio for like months being like, I don't know, does this sound good? Maybe I should give it another pass with editing. It's like, no, just put it out and move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
You'll get much more out of it than being too precious with something and only releasing one or two things a year versus 52.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like the sound quality stuff is something that you can either research or pay someone to fix immediately. Mm-hmm. Whereas like the don't quite have an idea or like not quite comfortable on mic, you can't fix it immediately with anything.
Yeah.
You just have to do it over and over again. So yeah, that would be the other reason to like, again, not saying it's not important, although personally I kind of think it's not important, but so the sound quality thing, I just don't think it's like a number one thing. It's like, it's like a five in a top five list or a 10 in a top 10 list for me. I'm just like, it's important. I don't want to say it's unimportant, but it's to me the last of the important things.
Yeah. And I think there's nothing stopping you from hopping on Google and being like, how do I make my iPhone voice memo sound good?
Yeah.
You know, how do I edit this or whatever? Someone's made a YouTube video about it, or there's like a Reddit like thread. It's like you can do that as opposed to just in your mind be like, oh, this is why I can't do this thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It more often holds people back than bad audio holds podcasts back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And with that 1000%, my first couple of shows sound like hot garbage.
Ooh,
but I'm still here, baby.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of nice.
I mean, yeah, isn't it feels that punk sweet? Rock,
you
know? Yeah.
You can hear like the next door neighbor lawn, like mowing their lawn or whatever.
Oh, I mean, I didn't know how to make clean edits. So it's just like you can, if you turn it up even just a little bit, you can just hear the
Oh, that's so funny.
Beautiful.
Oh my God. First of all, thank both, I guess everyone for coming out today and doing the show. Andrew, thanks for coming out again. July, thanks for coming out for the first time.
Thank you.
And being our stand-in audience member for questions.
Zig, thanks for having us.
Oh, yeah, no problem. I'm very happy to turn on the iTunes.
More importantly, Cassie, thank you for having us.
Yes, Cassie.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming into Zig's office.
Thank you. I do what I can, guys. I'm just here for you. But before we head out, just going around the room, any plugs or anything you'd want people to check you out on your social medias and all that fun stuff?
Okay. Man, are you looking at me? I just have things coming up, so I guess just keep following Andrew T. His last name is spelled T-I. For announcements for things I hope to talk about very soon.
Awesome.
Cool.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Cassie Jerkins, and then the Dumb Nerds podcast on Boardwalk Audio releases every Tuesday. New guest every week. We're always talking about a different topic that the guest thinks they're an amateur expert in.
I've done the show. It's very fun. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend people listen to it. July, who shows all? Actually, I've done everyone's show in here, I guess.
Perfect.
Listen to Trends with Benefits on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We've been doing the show for 3 years and we have yet to hit the 69 episode.
So for me, yay for Zig on every piece of social media. I guess for podcasts, check out The Second Team. That's a fun show that I do occasionally. We've also been together for 3 years and have not hit quite 70 episodes. So maybe this will be the year. Thanks for listening and enjoy the rest of your day.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.